You know, Austin, I've been so excited all weekend. It's been hard to, contain myself. I mean, this is so much fun to be able to do this with you guys for all of these years. And I had the opportunity to pray for you again this morning, ask God to bless you and direct you. And I know a lot of you guys, I literally have received hundreds of emails about this particular episode because we're going to do an introduction to Angel Wars today. Now, I'm not going to try to do the whole Angel Wars broadcast today because I've told you already it's going to be a multi-part series. And quite frankly, there's so much information now with I'm well over 100 pages into the notes that I'm just going to give you some preliminary stuff as far as some scripture today and kind of give you an idea of the war that was, the world that was, what it was with the pre-Adamic race, what it was with the ancient aliens and the ancient alien astronauts and ancient temple structures and all the other things we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about, yep, we're going to go there. We're going to go to Antarctica. We're going to talk about the 200 angels that got locked up and basically imprisoned on this planet. And we're going to talk about that. And if, are they in Antarctica? Is that why they don't want us in Antarctica? Have they found the tomb for these angels? Are they encapsulated in the ice? Are they in some type of other interdimensional rift interface tomb, like you saw in the movies, you know, with Superman, in which they were put into some type of loop in which they couldn't get out? We're going to cover a lot of this stuff. Not today, though. Today's going to be one of those that I'm going to give you a lot of scripture and cover it up. And we're also going to talk about some health topics today because it is the 2000 episode, and we are a health company. And, you know, tomorrow and I will go real heavy into Angel Wars, and I'll be adding segments of Angel Wars in every broadcast every day so we can continue to ease us through because I'm going to give you so much scripture today. You guys are going to kind of get overwhelmed, to be honest with you. And I'm going to read you some of the scripture today so you'll level up. Now, let's go ahead and start on Hebrews this morning. I want to start because I'm going to give you some information on Angel Wars. I've got to go ahead and start on the book of Hebrews. This is really, really important. And I'm going to read you part of this. This is you got to realize who God is and who Jesus is. And I've referred to the scripture many, many times, but I've not gone into it and actually read it with you in a while. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Whoa. He's saying right here that Jesus was used by God to make the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he has become as much superior to the angels as to the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Now, I'm going to read part of that again, so I want you to get this. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And it says again in the Bible that it's through Christ all things are held together. You guys can look that scripture up. But read Hebrews 1, 4 through 14, really important verses you guys need to get and understand where it came from. Now, also, we're going to go to Jude right now. Jude, verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. This is where I believe Antarctica comes in. There you go. And when he refers to these angels, a lot of people think that he's referring to the book of Enoch, where the 200 watchers, the angels came down, and they were basically imprisoned. A lot of people believe this is Antarctica. There's a reason we can't go to Antarctica. There's a reason they tell us we can't go to Antarctica. There's a reason that they won't tell us exactly, you know, what's going on with our planet. There's a reason that the math they've given us as far as the curvature patterns of the Earth doesn't work. I've told you this before as a pilot. You set your trim at 10,000 feet. You're flying at 200 knots. You should be flying off the curvature, but you don't do that. It's weird. It stays level the whole time. You don't have to adjust for curvature. So it's a strange phenomenon in which the math doesn't work, in which Lake Okeechobee, 29 miles across, it should drop 500 feet from one end to the other feet, but it doesn't do that. In other words, all the water should run off because level water has to maintain level. So a lot of the stuff they've told us that was brought to us by Isaac Newton, who was a Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan, worshiped the fallen angels, probably was a big fan of the Zohar. I mean, they kept his writings hidden now for many, many, many centuries because they don't want us to realize what a nut he was, and he was a high-level wizard. Always remember who these people are and what they believe. Now, also, let's take a look in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. We're going to talk about that, angel wars. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, so they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And then I heard a voice, a loud voice in heaven say, now have all of the salvation and the power of the kingdom our God and the authority of Christ, for the accuser of the brothers who accuses them before God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in him. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, and he is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. It's like I've told you before. He knows that he's going to get sent to the lake of fire. He knows all that stuff's going to happen. And the reality is, you know, he doesn't like that. And he's trying his best to avoid that and to change the outcome. And I'll tell you how he's trying to do that in a minute. And then again, in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once had laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven and I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. And I will ascend above the tops of the clouds and I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pits. And then we also look at in Ezekiel. It basically says, 28:17-19, thine heart was lifted up because of thine beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of the brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries of the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, which will devour thee, and will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold them. You know, and all these people that know you, and it says, and all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, shalt be in terror, and never shalt thou be any more. He's talking about him having the radiance and the glory of what he once had. He'll never have that again. And then in Hebrews 12:22, in the King James Version, it says, but ye are come into the Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. I like the King James in a lot of this because the NIV doesn't say it that way. It says thousands upon thousands of angels. This on the King James Version is accurate. It says innumerable company of angels. So therefore, we know, we already have just read the scripture to you, that the angels basically were judged by God, and they were cast down to the earth along with Lucifer, and he lost his beauty. So now he's running around as a roaring lion. I guess he's become a masquerader now. He basically puts on and pretends like he's an angel of the light, but he was cast down. He no longer has the beauty he once had. So all of these things are happening to us in the world that we now know as planet Earth. But things happened here before planet Earth that we know. We need to understand that the Bible states that God is a spirit, and he can only be worshipped in spirit and truth. God dwells in the spirit world in a place known as heaven, you know, and we have to understand that angels are also spirit beings created to carry out the work of God in heaven, as well as the physical universe in which we reside. If you listen to what Phil Schneider said, when he dropped into that underground base, he shot one of these things with a 9mm. Now, was this a fallen angel or was it something else? I don't know. I'm not going to go there with this, but they don't like us having guns. We've talked about that repeatedly. They don't like our Second Amendment rights, because when they come into the physical world where we are now, they are subject to physical limitations like we are in this world. Now, while these angels are from the spirit world, they're not ghosts. They're just as solid as you and I are. Remember, an angel is just as solid as flesh. As flesh is to solid. But they're different as far as how they're designed. And they were designed to operate in both the spirit realm and in the physical world. Lucifer is a fallen angel that rebelled against God. He's also known as Satan, the devil, and that old serpent. There are other names for him also. And guys, don't get back on me now and say to me, well, this doesn't say this, this doesn't say this. I'm telling you from what I've read and what I've studied. If you don't agree with what I'm telling you today, if you don't agree with the scripture verses that I'm using, if you don't agree with any of this stuff, I ask you to do me a favor. Don't send me emails, please. I don't want to get into a debate with you about scripture. That's why I was hesitant to do this entire broadcast, but I'm going to do it anyhow, because I really feel that you guys need to understand what happened before we were here and what happened before Adam and Eve came. Very, very important that you don't rag me about this, because I'll be honest with you, I don't listen to it. Lucifer is a fallen angel. We got to understand that. He is from the spirit world, and so are all the other fallen angels and the demons. They've been confined to the earth, it says. They were cast down and into its atmosphere, and they're no longer allowed to roam in the physical universe or heaven. In other words, they can't leave prison planet Earth. Okay, it's what they locked up down here is where they are. I talked about this last week. The Bible describes the angels as numerous as the stars, so the rebellion represented one-third of the virtually unlimited angels, and that's in Hebrews 12:22. You can look at that verse again if you want to look it up. Now, what we have to understand is we've had World War I on this planet, which is the war above all wars, they said, and then we had World War II, which pretty much wiped out Europe and wiped out Germany. And while these were enormous conflicts that affected the entire planet, it was limited to just our planet as far as what we know. And it's minuscule compared to the space war that engulfed the universe when Lucifer and his untold number of angels rebelled against God. Remember, a third of innumerable is still innumerable. Okay, this took place prior to the creation of Adam and Eve. We don't know how long the conflict lasted. It could have lasted for a day. It could have lasted for 1,000 years. It could have lasted for 10,000 years. But the residual damage from the battles marred and destroyed different planets throughout our solar system. And the final battle, we believe, was fought on in our solar system. And this is basically Revelation 12, 7 through 10. So try to understand that we're not alone in the universe. We never have been. Just get that one. Don't allow ourselves to get caught up into, like, well, I don't believe in space aliens. I don't believe in spaceships. These entities have to get around. They have to, and that's what we see with these ships that are flying around in our atmosphere all the time and making all these crazy moves. I asked Chuck Missler, who is a friend of mine who's passed away. He's with the Lord now. I asked him years ago about the UFOs, and he looked at me and he goes, why do you think that you can tell angels how they're supposed to travel? We said, and he said, these spaceships that we see out here are ships that are basically – you know, from the fallen angels or from these angels. Now, also remember, a lot of this is from the remnant fleet that was used to rebel against God. You know, you watch the movies that, you know, George Lucas puts out and all the rest of them, you call them Star Wars, you know, and the Force. And, you know, we have this galactic, you know, fight that's going on. Well, in a real kind of sense, in a pre-Adamic race, this is what happened. I'll go into more detail about this tomorrow. But what happened is we had a massive, massive war in the heavenlies in an interdimensional rift and things that were able to go through, you know, wormholes, things that were able to make transition across the universe simple because of the technology they had developed that God had given them. This is where we find ourselves now. And so we had a huge battle here on this planet. That's what happened in the angel wars. And it was apparently some people say it was Satan's last stronghold. Now, remember, these fallen angels and every spirit and every evil spirit, basically, their attacks upon the human race didn't go beyond the parameters set at the trial of Lucifer. Now you say, what do you mean trial of Lucifer? Lucifer was judged. He was turned into ash. I've already read you the scripture on that. Something happened to him. He was cast down, and he received the judgment from God. Now, there was a rule of engagement that was put into place here, and we have to understand what happened with the rule of engagement. In the rule of engagement, Lucifer was given certain things he could do and couldn't do. He exceeded those rules of engagement. We'll talk about them later, you know, in the different broadcasts. He exceeded those rules of engagement, and he did things he should not have done. He got into the human genome with his 200 other fallen angels who came down here and basically were basically the watchers who taught people how to basically do genetic manipulation. They sinned against the dinosaurs and on and on and on, which violated the parameters that God had given them, and he flushed the planet. But we have to understand that this trial and these forces that are out there were basically orchestrated by God as far as this charging of Lucifer, what he had done. Michael and his angels and his forces are also in charge. This is the Archangel Michael, and his forces are also in charge of Abraham and his offspring, which also includes the Church of Jesus Christ. You can look at that up in Daniel 12, verse 1. Gabriel, he was the chief messenger in the New Testament, appearing to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and to the Virgin Mary, who would give birth to the Messiah. You can look that up at Luke 1, 11 through 12, 20, and Luke 1, 26 through 37. There were angels. Now, I'm going to cover this for just a second. You got to stay with me on this. There were angels assigned to guard Jesus during his time on earth as when he was the God-man. Okay, when he was who he was, when he realized who he was after he became the age of accountability and he started realizing that he is the one who created the universe, as it says through God in Hebrews. I read you that to start with because I wanted to make that statement so you'd understand what I'm saying. That's who he is. He, through him, all things are held together. So when he came to this earth and he sacrificed himself for us on the cross and he basically allowed himself to be put on the cross. Let me say something real quick. This is important. You know, when Christ was put on the cross, he allowed himself to be put on the cross. When he was scourged, he was whipped for our sin and our iniquity to bring us back to that of the Father, to bring our energy field back to that of the Father, to make us restore us to back to the Father, to assume the sin of the world upon himself. He allowed that to happen. He did not have to let that happen. He could have stopped it at any single time. he when he was on the cross and they were scoffing and laughing at him and giving him vinegar to drink and all the crazy sick stuff they did to him on the cross, he could have just pulled the nails out of his hands. He could have pulled the nails out of his feet. He could have called down his entire angels that were there to protect him and stopped all of it and killed every single person scoffing. He could have just moved his finger and taken off every one of their heads. That's how much power he had. And then he allowed himself to be crucified. He allowed himself to die. And then he resurrected. He decided he didn't want to be dead anymore after 3 days. And we have to understand who he is. And when we understand that, we'll understand what kind of sacrifice he did for us. Now, let's stop for 1 second. Let's take a look at these angels that were assigned to guard Jesus during his time on earth. He had angels? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. They said there was an elite force of 12 legions that were put in for his security. You know, and quite frankly, he didn't really need them, right? But he was in a man's suit at that point, but they were there to make sure they took care of him. A Roman legion was built upon a century of comprised of 80 men. Six centuries of 80 men formed a cohort, and 10 cohorts made up a legion. The infantry was supported by 120 horsemen who acted as scouts and dispatch riders. The legion could be further augmented by auxiliaries, cavalry, archers, and slingers. There were also engineers, artillerymen, craftsmen, service and support personnel, and irregular units made up of mercenaries and local militia. In addition, every legion had a large baggage train for the soldiers, equipped with equipment as well as camp followers, servants, and slaves. Legions could contain as many as 11,000 fighting men with the inclusion of auxiliaries. Just to give you some Roman history, that meant that a legion typically numbered anywhere from 5,200 to 6,000 soldiers. And if that were to be used to the number 5,500, we could deduce that Jesus had a personal bodyguard of angels when he was on this planet of over 66,000 angels during his earthly ministry. He did not have to allow himself to be crucified. He told that to Peter. When Peter cut off the guy's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, stop, we're not going to do this. We're not going to live by the sword. Don't you know that I can call these angels down? And he had the ability to do that. So we have to understand that these angels and the fallen angels were all sentenced to the lake of fire for their first part of this, because they're part of the rebellion. And you can look that up under Matthew 25 through 41. I told you I was going to give you a lot of scripture today. The devil, in my opinion, something happened at the trial of Lucifer. Because remember, Lucifer was like the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He had tremendous authority, worship leader in heaven. I believe he traveled back and forth from his earthly plane to earth, back and forth to heaven. Some people say, well, did he use a spaceship? I don't know, but apparently Chuck Missler thought so. He may have. So don't start getting all wrapped up in all the details like that, but he was able to go back and forth. Well, then he decided to pick a third of these angels, who they were innumerable, remember, and they decided to follow him. He had that much power and that much authority. So when God tried him, something happened at the trial. Can you imagine? They're sitting here at this trial of Lucifer. There's innumerable angels throughout the galaxy, you know, that God has put out and sent out. And all of a sudden, somehow, either through scalar energy or photonic energy or through some type of transmission that was possible by God alone or what they do, you know, in heaven and how they talk to each other, interdimensional interface, I don't know. They were actually televising this. And all of these angels that were with Lucifer that were against God, they were seeing what was happening to him, including him getting turned to ash and being sentenced. So something happened. He was like the chairman of the 20 Jesus staff. And at that point, something happened with his sentencing. And this is what we have to understand. This is why you read the book of Job, where God and Lucifer are communicating and talking. This is already after his fall. And he's talking to God about Job. He's testing Job, and he's talking to God. That brings Job back into contents about what happened at the trial. Apparently, in my humble opinion, which may or may not be right, it's just my opinion, something was commuted with the sentence, and Satan was locked up and tied up for a bit. But then he was allowed to turn loose. Day two, he was turned back loose in the garden with Adam and Eve. Now, all of this stuff, of course, I try to tie back to Christianity as best I possibly can, and to Scripture. But a lot of this stuff, if you don't look back into the book of Revelation, which was written after Jesus' life, the disciples really didn't understand any of this stuff that was going on as far as its earthly spiritual realm. That's why Jesus said, if you don't understand the earthly things, how are you going to understand the spiritual things? And that's why he says to us, our battle is not against flesh and blood. He's talking about the battle again, but against these principalities and all these other things. He keeps telling you about what happened in the pre-Adamic world, but we're not getting it because as Christians, we're not looking at the context. We're not looking at the book of Enoch and what happened with the fallen angels. We're not looking at what happened in the pre-Adamic time. And we have to understand all of this stuff. So the devil somehow challenged this ruling that he had. And then God, because he's God and he's righteous, and I guess he decided just to give him a cut him some slack or whatever. You know, he allowed him to basically come in and try to prove his case. That's the only thing I can say about the book of Job that makes sense. But remember, Jesus is also creator. He took on the task of refurbishing the earth and making it ready for the creation of the human race. Jesus was allotted 6 days for the refurbishment, which was like 1,000 years each day before Adam and Eve. Jesus had 6,000 years to accomplish this task. This one for God, for one day for God is like 1,000 years for mankind. This is 2 Peter 3:8. If you want to look that one up. Humanity was created for one reason. Humanity was created for one reason, and that reason basically was, I guess, was to try to prove, you know, what was going on with God and with Lucifer and all the rest of this. Hey, I'm turning my phone off. I can't believe people call me during the show. And so what ends up happening is we get into a situation where, you know, humanity, we have to ask ourselves a question. Why did this happen? Why did God create humanity over again on this planet, you know, in Genesis 1:1, when his spirit was hovering over the waters of the deep and the earth was formless and without void, and God separated the waters again? Why did God do this with the human beings? Only thing I can figure out, guys, on this one is this. God loves us, and he wanted to have children that were in his image because the angels were not. He wanted to give us souls. That's why they're so jealous of us, because they know that they don't have what we have, that we were created in the image of the Most High God, and God wanted to prove that human beings could, with freedom of will, worship him voluntarily, not being forced to. They could be obedient to him, and he would write their laws, the law, his laws on their hearts, and he would have the ability to fill them with the Holy Spirit, which was not the ability in the Old Testament. People need to understand this. So Jesus, also the creator, took the task of refurbishing the earth and making it ready for the creation of the human race. Jesus was, again, allowed 6 days to do this. And we need to understand that the conditions changed on the eighth day when the prohibitions apparently on Lucifer removed, and he immediately seduced the serpent and then basically talked to Eve through the serpent. You know, you have to imagine how gleefully Lucifer was when Eve and Adam decided to join him. You got to realize that. Adam was no longer king of the earth. The lordship was transferred to Satan as he became the prince of this world. And you look that up in John 12:31, 14-30, and 16:11, all in the book of John. And that's why I say the God of this world would never have crucified the Son of Glory had he known what he was doing. He would never have allowed that to happen. He would have done it. He absolutely would never have done that, because it gave the authority back to us as Christians. This is why the Kabbalist Luciferian people on this planet, the Satanists, or whatever you want to call them, synagogue of Satan, Kabbalists, Luciferians, worshippers of the ancient Canaanite religions, whatever you want to call them, have come in now and have done what they've done. And the sad part about this is that we need to realize that even though these angels were captured and chained and cast into prison, a place called Tartarus, while both hell and Tartarus are located under the surface of the earth, you know, this is a different prison, apparently, that is designed especially for the fallen angels. And you can look this up in Jude chapter 6, verse 6, which I've already covered with you once. So all of this stuff is part of the Angel Wars program and part of what we're going to talk about through the entire series here. And we're going to talk about how the angels basically tried to stage this coup d'etat against God, and they apparently assembled some type of giant space fleet with all kinds of weapons in which they destroyed the planet that we know now is the asteroid field in our solar system, and have pop-marked so many other planets and have done so many other deeds and damages. So now they're locked up here on this planet with us. So we have overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That's why years ago I was doing a show with Sarah. I believe her last name was Westall. Great lady. Did a show with her. And she said, well, there are many ways to the Father. I said, no, there's not. There's one way. It's through Jesus. It's through the blood of the Lamb. If we don't have him as our, quote, transformer to restore us back to the Father, we can't come back to the Father. Because he's the one, Jesus is the one who created the planet. He's the one through whom all things are held together. He is the voice and the authority above all else in the entire universe. He's it. And so when we speak about Jesus, that's why I told you the other day. I told you this last week. I had Jürgen over here. He's passed away now. Günther, he's passed away. He's the guy who wanted to turn into a crystal before he died or whatever. He had cancer. He started talking to me about all these crazy things about the universe, and then he starts talking to me about, and I start talking to him about Jesus, and I said, why do you make it so complicated? It's through him and by him all things are held together. If one of these entities are fallen angels or demonic entities or whatever, and they abduct you from your home in the middle of the night, and you call on the name of Jesus, the creator of the universe, which is what it says in Hebrews, through God Almighty, they don't want him showing up, and they put you back in your home. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that allows him to rule and reign in all the universe, that power that he has that raised him from the dead dwells in you as a Christian. And that's who we are. So it doesn't matter as far as a pre-Adamic race and what they did. We'll go into detail on some of this stuff, including the ancient alien monuments and all the other stuff on this broadcast. It doesn't matter what they did. What matters now is this. Who are you in Christ? Have you accepted Jesus for who he is, who he said he is? And do you realize that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you because that power is in you? Understand, you are in covenant with the Most High God. In the old Indian days, they had what's called a blood oath, blood covenant. One Indian would cut his hand, the other Indian would cut his hand, and throw their palms together, and their blood would commingle. And at that point in time, each of them were in a blood covenant with one another, what one owned, the other owned. And that's what God did for us with the blood covenant he did through Jesus. He was the Lamb of God. He symbolized the Passover lamb in the book of Exodus when the death angel came over Egypt. And they took the lamb, and they sacrificed the lamb. They killed it. And they put the blood of the lamb on the lintels and the doorpost to prevent the death angels from coming in. And then they consumed the lamb. And that was the consumption of that lamb is indicative of what we do with Christianity, with Holy Communion. Because we are eating the lamb, as far as symbolically, is what we're doing. And we're consuming the very essence of Christ when we have communion. And they says, do this whenever you think of me, because it reminds us of who he is and what he did for us. And because his blood is an eternal covenant for us, the blood on the mercy seat is just as wet now as it was 2,000 years ago. Listen to me, friends. This Christianity stuff that we do, this isn't a game. It's real. It's very, very, very real. And if you understand who we are in Christ, if you understand what he did for us and what he did by creating the universe, it's going to make a whole lot more sense to you and realize that this is a battle for the hearts, the souls, the minds of the people on this earth, and that those of us who believe in God, who follow Jesus, who follow the Most High God, are going to have our place in glory, and we're going to rule and reign with Christ for all of eternity. This is just a temporary situation we're in. Don't allow it to catch you off guard. Don't allow it to get you depressed. Don't allow it to mess with your head. Don't allow any of this stuff to happen, because we have the authority through God. We have a blood covenant with God Almighty. And even if we leave this earthly plane, if we check out and our race is run, we get to be with God for all of eternity and get to be with him. That's the goal here, guys. The goal here is to bring honor and glory to him in all that we do, think, and say, and to remember that this is not a game we're playing for the winners of, you know, tiddlywinks or Monopoly. This is for eternity. And that's why we've got to stand our ground, like Ephesians says, put on the whole armor of God and dig in and don't step back. Don't lose your ground. Stay tuned. Tomorrow we'll go into more detail on what happened in the Angel Wars and what happened with this giant battle in the heavenlies. Austin, what do you think?